1999, this is an interview with Elizabeth Oberst, O-B-E-R-S-T, at her residence in Lexington, Kentucky, and the interviewer is Betsy Brinson. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to meet with me this morning. Shall I call you
Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And we've already talked about how we're both Elizabeths, mm-hmm. but I know you know, but this is for the purpose of the readers of the transcript or people who listen to the tape. What we're trying to do with this project is to a couple of things here. We want to document the whole history of the effort to eliminate legal segregation in Kentucky from 1930 to 1970. And today, I want to talk with you a little bit about you and your background, but I also want to try and talk to you a little bit about your husband, Paul, and his involvement. And then I'd like to just ask you some questions about individuals who were active here in Lexington that we don't have any information at all, just to see if they trigger anything with you in terms of recall. But why don't we begin? Tell me where and when you were born, Elizabeth.
Ann Arbor, Michigan, in August 1915.
1915, so that makes you 84 years old. Okay. And tell me a little bit about your growing up, your family, your early education.
Well, it was just ordinary, very ordinary. I had two brothers, and I went to my family was and is Catholic, and so I went to the Catholic school in Ann Arbor.
Okay, were you younger or older than your two brothers?
I was in between.
You were in between, mm-hmm. Okay. And how did your family make their living?
My father taught law at the University of Michigan.
Okay, okay. And your mother?
She was a housewife.
Okay, kept everything together mm-hmm. at home. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have any information about where your family originated from, your early ancestors, what part of the world?
Not really. My mother's forebears came from Ireland, and my father's came from England, I think.
Okay. So you attended Catholic schools all the way through high school?
Yes.
And you graduated in what year?
35.
Okay. How many people were in your high school graduating class, approximately?
Oh, I think it was about 15.
Okay, so small.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a student were you?
What do you mean by that?
Did you like school?
Yes.
Okay.
I did pretty well.
Okay. And then what happened to you after high school graduation?
Well, then I went to college, and then I went to law school.
Where did you go to college?
University of Michigan.
Okay. And what did you major in there?
Language and literature, as they called mm-hmm. it. I think that was it.
mm-hmm. And from there you went to law school?
Yes.
That was pretty unusual for a woman.
Yes, it was. There were, I guess maybe 8 or 10 women in the whole school, mm-hmm. not very mm-hmm. many.
Did you ever have a class with your father?
No.
Would that have been allowed even?
Oh, probably if he had wanted it, but he and I agreed that it wouldn't be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a particular area of the law that interested you while you were in school?
No, not particularly.
Okay. So you finished law school in about
1941.
Okay. How did you and Paul meet?
Well, he had graduated from UK law school, mm-hmm. and then he went up to Ann Arbor to get an additional law degree. The dean here encouraged him to do that, and he did. Mm-hmm. And that's how we met.
Mm-hmm. Now he, I understand, is from Owensboro,
right.
Kentucky. So. Can you tell me his birth, what year he was born?
1914.
Okay. And do you remember how you first met?
Well, there was a young couple, both of whom were law students, and as we look back, we think that they invited both of us over one evening, mm-hmm. or maybe we just each of us happened, just happened, but mm-hmm. I think we were invited. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to stop here? So you met while you both were in law school.
Yes, yes.
He was doing graduate mm-hmm. work, and, mm-hmm. and you were doing a regular law
degree. That's right.
And then what happened?
Well, then he got a job with a law firm in Kansas City, and I guess it was less than a year that Pearl Harbor happened, mm-hmm. and he went into the Navy, was out in the Pacific mm-hmm. for quite a while, and then after he came back, and the war was over, the dean of UK Law School asked him to come and start teaching, so he did, and then we were married that summer. Mm-hmm.
What was his area of expertise?
Especially
teaching?
Constitutional law.
Okay.
And then torts also was his specialty.
Okay. Let me go back and ask you a little bit about his family and his growing up, what you recall about that.
Well, I don't know very much because I didn't know him in those years. Mm-hmm. His father was a lawyer in Owensboro, mm-hmm. and there were six children, of which Paul was the oldest, mm-hmm. and that's about it, I guess.
Was he Catholic?
Yes.
Because I know Owensboro has a nice-sized Catholic population mm-hmm. now. I don't know mm-hmm. how far back that went.
Well, I don't either, really.
Do you know anything about where his early ancestors migrated from?
Oh, I think they came from Germany.
Germany, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oberst would be a good mm-hmm. German name. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the two of you moved to Lexington in
1946.
Okay. And tell me about your, I know you have one son at least, tell me about your children.
Well, we have four sons and one daughter.
Okay.
And this son actually lives with us and takes care of us. Mm-hmm. That's Jamie, James.
And do your other children live in the area?
Well, one lives in Berea, mm-hmm. and the oldest one lives in Toronto, which isn't very near, very close. Mm-hmm. And then two of them live out in Oregon.
Okay, so you had a busy time there for mm-hmm. a number of years with
right.
five children.
Right.
Did any of them become lawyers?
Our one daughter is a lawyer.
And she's where does she live?
She's in Oregon.
In Oregon.
She works for the Oregon Bar Association.
Okay.
In their continuing legal education program.
Okay. Did you ever practice or teach
no,
law?
No, I worked in the law, but never as in a private practice.
Okay, tell me about what you did.
Well, when I first graduated from law school, they asked me to stay on at the University of Michigan, and I worked for a professor who was producing a book on probate law. Mm-hmm. And similar things, and so I worked for him until I married and left there, mm-hmm. about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally Paul would have a law review article that he was working on, and he would ask me to check the citations and mm-hmm. one thing and another, which I did. And then, let's see. Then I got to working for what's called the Administrative Office of the Courts in Frankfurt. They run the court system. They administer it. And I worked there for about 5 years until I got tired of commuting. So I quit.
I can understand yeah. that. And what period would that have been, Elizabeth?
That was, mm-hmm. 1970 to 75, I guess.
Okay. Okay. But am I correct in saying that from the time you moved here, for many years, your full-time responsibility was really taking care of children, mm-hmm. raising children.
And managing the home.
Right, right. Okay. Were you involved in any community or church activities during that time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you about the Lexington Commission on Human Rights and Religion. Do I have that right? Let's see. Lexington Committee on Religion and Human Rights, which was active here in the 60s. Do you remember that group at all?
No, not really.
Okay. Well,
did it have a name?
It was a coalition of
religious
organizations in large part, but community groups.
I was wondering if CORE was its title, but that was probably some other group.
No, that the CORE was different.
Oh.
This was a group that got started in 62. About 250 people met at Christ Episcopal Church to hear a report by a Reverend Robert Estell, who had just returned from the National Conference on Religion and Race. And it was out of that this Lexington group got started to sort of work on some of the civil rights issues, mm-hmm. and improving race relations and whatnot. Do you have any recollection of Robert Estell?
No, I don't.
He was the minister at the Episcopal Church at that point, and he and your husband actually served together on the State Commission on Human Rights.
I know Paul was on the State Commission, but I don't remember that name.
Okay. Well, at one point you actually co-wrote a report on public accommodations with a woman named Mrs. Pauline Gould for this organization. Mm-hmm. Does that name mean anything to you?
Well, I think I mentioned on the phone that a black woman and I, and there might have been a third person, went to I can remember for sure, one restaurant, mm-hmm. but I can't remember whether we were thrown out or what the result mm-hmm. was. So I'm suspecting that they took us in,
mm-hmm.
or I would remember more about it probably.
Right. That would be right, because in 64, a lot of the places had opened up in Lexington. The golf course had not. There were some restaurants, but by and large, and as I understand, the purpose of your committee was to sort of check out.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Who was open and who wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then the organization, the Lexington Committee, took the research that you all did and turned it over to the newly created Lexington Commission on Human Relations under the city, and they were to take any action, so that the organization you were with didn't really take any. You ran a few programs. I remember reading something about an essay contest in the schools, called the Green Circle. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
Okay. What do you remember about Pauline Gould? She was the black woman?
Yes.
Okay.
And a very nice, pleasant person.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed being together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think she married somebody whose name was Gay. Have you any?
Gay?
Yes.
Mm, no.
I think so, and I believe she's died several years ago.
Okay. Let me just ask you about some names of people and see
okay,
if you...
Okay, I probably won't okay. know them, but go ahead.
There was a fellow named Joe Graves.
Oh, yes.
From here, who mm-hmm. was active. He was not actually a member of the State Commission on Human Rights with your husband, but he apparently was active.
Yes, he was.
What can you tell me about him? Is he still living?
As far as I know.
Okay.
But I don't really know.
What can you tell me about him? I don't know anything.
I think he was involved in what was called, this has nothing to do with human rights. I think he was involved in a bank called the Bank of Lexington. Mm-hmm. But whether he was the president of the corporation or what, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And what else?
What was his role here in terms of the whole civil rights?
I don't know, but he was active.
He was active, mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever know a woman named Abby Marlatt?
Yes.
Okay.
She was taught at UK in the home economics program, they called it in those days. Mm-hmm. It's now called something else.
Right. And she was active with the core chapter.
I think she was. Yes. Mm-hmm.
How about a woman named Laura Massey?
No, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay. A gentleman named Stanley Rose was the co-chair of this Lexington Committee on Religion and
called Carl what?
L-Y-N-A-M, Lynam.
I don't.
Okay. How about a woman named Mrs. Irving Gall, G-A-L-L?
No.
Now she designed the logo for the one report I have. I guess I didn't bring the logo with me to show you, but that doesn't mean anything you either. Okay. And then a gentleman named Gregory Shinnert, S-H-I-N-E-R-T?
No.
No? Okay. He was the first director of the Lexington Commission on Human Rights in the 60s. Okay. Let me just ask you, those are local people here in Lexington. Let me ask you about some of the names with who served with your husband on the State Commission. And I know, I don't believe you went to those meetings,
no.
but
no.
If you have any recollection of do you have any recollection of sort of what race relations were like here in the 60s in Lexington?
Well, before people began being active, there was definite segregation here.
Mm-hmm.
You sat in the back of the bus and you didn't go to white restaurants or hotels or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But UK was segregated. Blacks didn't come to UK.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I can say about mm-hmm. those days.
So, was your husband would have been there probably when the first black students were admitted
yes,
to the law school.
He was active in that whole affair.
What can you tell me about that?
You ought to talk to him about that. He
okay.
knows.
Okay. Will he talk to me?
I think he might, although.
Okay.
Turn off the machine a second.
Well, let me just ask you a few more names now. These are people who served on the State Commission on Human
okay.
Rights with your husband, so you may or may not have heard about them. And of course, what I'm dealing with here too for the women is they, you know, how we used to always go by our husband's name.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any first names for a lot of these
no.
people
uh-huh.
either. There was a Mrs. Dan Beck, B-Y-C-K.
No, I don't know her.
It was a J.J. Duke Miner.
Duke Muneer.
Duke Muneer?
He taught in the law school, but then he went to another place far away, I think. But Jesse was his first name, and he was not married.
So he was.
It was J-E-S-S-E, I think.
Uh-huh. Okay, and he. So he was here at the UK Law School.
Yes, and okay. I didn't know that he was involved in civil rights, I guess.
He was he served on the commission really just for a year, from 1960 to 1961.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, your husband came on in 1962.
Oh.
And served till, almost 19 years off and on. For okay. Do you know where Jesse moved to?
I think it was the University of California in Los Angeles, UCLA.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but I have a feeling that's where he went.
Okay. There was a gentleman named J.T. Hatcher.
No, I don't know him.
Gilbert Kingsbury.
No.
And Mrs. Robert Lowe.
No.
Jack Page.
No.
William Sherm.
No.
Frank Stanley Sr.
No.
Okay. Charles Steele.
No.
Charles Williams.
No.
Dr. Frank Krause.
No.
Glenn Denham.
That name sounds familiar.
62 to 1965.
Somehow I associate him with UK, but I don't know that.
It was a woman named Kathy.